Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain a leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hey, this is part three of my interview with my good friend Joshua Brown, and he's talking about side hustle. And the question is, what if the side hustle is actually the main thing? Joshua spent 22 years in vocational ministry, very successful, by the way, growing programs, making events, but not really making disciples. So he's in a big church. He's doing a great job. Everybody's happy, and he's frustrated. And so he Googles five top businesses that you can start with $5,000 or less and comes up with pressure washing. He didn't know anything about it. He got a friend to kind of coach him for a half a day. He saw big money come rolling in and began to do this on a part-time basis, earning far more money than he was as a pastor on a church campus. And so he was found that more than that, he was meeting people in their driveways. He was praying with customers. He began to build a team. He starts praying with those guys, discipling them every day. In my mind, today, after he's left vocational ministry and he's running this very large business, that is available to you, by the way. That's my whole point in bringing him to you, is if you're a pastor and you're underpaid, frustrated with under-disciple making not happening, Josh has got some stuff to say to you and actually a pathway that might help you to a far better life, a far more fruitful life in the Lord, and a far better life for you and your family. And so it's really all about how to be a minister in the marketplace. We use that term minister wrongly. When we call a pastor of a church or a Bible teacher a minister, we're taking the concept of ministry away from the people sitting in the pews and putting it upon somebody with a microphone around their neck. We're getting past all that in this podcast. So I hope that you really take something away from this, and I hope that some people find a whole new path for their life. I have a friend named Ron Smith in one of the poorest parts of Omaha. African-American neighborhood, very, very poor community. I met him at Exponential, and I had done a teaching. Kind of the backstory is Todd Wilson had come up with he had written an 11-page position paper on microchurch and how microchurches could be used as startup tools if you're trying to do the traditional thing, start small and let it grow. Especially, I mean, that's assuming we've made disciples in-house, and rather than send them off to seminary someplace. But somebody kind of shot it down. We're in a meeting with just some of the guys who are doing this. And one guy kind of shot Todd's paper down, and a real good guy, and he just misspoke. But Todd was a little depressed. And I go, you know what, Todd, let me write a book about this. I don't know anything about it, really. When I wrote the book, I could identify eight of what I'd actually call a microchurch out of all of the Hope Chapels and wherever. And because we were always trying to start churches about 150 people when we started. And so I wrote the book, and suddenly I'm the expert, right? But what happened was, because I wrote the book, I started meeting people. And so I was in Exponential, and I had taught this like a breakout. And I went looking for a friend, and he wasn't where I thought he'd be. And I got kind of lost and in that big church in Orlando. I'm walking back by the classroom where I had just taught the thing about probably 40 minutes after it's over. And there's five or six guys sitting around, mostly African-Americans. And this one guy just kind of almost gets in my face in a real good way. And he goes, I'm a lower level executive at McDonald's, and I've started three churches in my life. And you just gave me permission to keep my job. In other words, being bivocational or doing side hustle is not, you're a loser. You're not a winner. I think you're a winner. But the traditional church thinks you're a loser. And so we went and sat and talked, and I became friends with him and several other people as a result of all this. And so I was in Omaha and went to breakfast with him one morning, and he had just started a pressure washing business. And for them, it's a little different. He was He was going to automotive garages and places like that and cleaning their floors because they pick up grease and whatever. And I asked him how much he was charging, and it was pretty small. I was shocked. And I go, well, how can you live on that? And he goes, well, how I can live on that is I got 10 people doing this, and everybody I'm hiring, I'm intentionally hiring people coming out of jail, and I'm discipling them. It's exactly what you're talking about, except it's not scaled up like that. And I have another friend who he's just become I guess it's a big, if I said the name, everybody know the name of the church. But it's a church that's done a lot of sites, multi-sites. That frustrates me. I think we'd do a lot better with smaller churches instead of whatever. Anyway, they just hired this guy because they said before they hired him, they said, we can guarantee, give us $250,000, and we'll go into a community and we'll run a video feed from our Sunday morning event, and we'll have 200 people in a year. And the guy who told me that was on staff, and he said, and that's the worst use of kingdom money that I can imagine. And so now they're looking for, let's go figure out how to do a micro site. And the person, and it's a little convoluted, but they're going to have the main sermon, and they can share it or show it. In other words, you can show the video if you want to show the video, but you can just take them through it and through the word if you want to. And so they're kind of building out the micro thing. It's scalable again. And I think what and the guy who now they just hired that started all this, he started a bunch of micro churches, but he was on support. He raised funds, and felt convicted, and went and got a 40-hour week job because everybody that else is leading these micro churches that I'm discipling them, getting them going, they're all doing 40 hours a week. Why am I not? And I think there's some integrity issues that we've skipped over, and maybe we can get back together and talk about this some more at some point. But I think that, I think we look at Paul making tents. I always heard that term, tent makers, as losers when I was growing up and going to Bible college and all that. And we look at it as Paul was doing a fallback and had to do it. And then he got out of doing it. And I think we got to look at Aquila and Priscilla. We at a time when people didn't travel anywhere 40 miles from their home, these people show up in three large metropolitan areas, and they're people making tents as a business. They're ministers of the gospel, spreading the gospel. I think we've got our models all backwards, and I'm thrilled to hear you talk. I want you to and I know that this is running longer, and I'm glad it is, but if you're okay, I want you to get in and talk from the word and justify what you're doing, because I know you got the justification, but people need to hear it, I think, because we've too long bought the party line, and we need to hear some reality.
You know, what's interesting is I now feel the exact opposite of what I felt in the past as it relates to who the loser is. I read a book by Keith Craft, and he was part of the Acts 29 network back when Mark Driscoll was doing his thing and with Mars Hill Church. And it talked about how many pastors were going to quit ministry. I think it was 83% of pastors will not finish a pastor. When I read that book, I was like, not me. I'm going to be part of that 17%. All those 83% of those losers that quit ministry. How are you going to turn your back on the gospel and the God who saved you? Those guys were utilizing their business model for the purpose of keeping people inside their business model. I look at it the exact opposite now. I'm like, don't leave the marketplace. Don't go start a. Now I'm just saying it, okay? I can't say it. I want to be super kind. Start whatever the Lord tells you to, but if you want 6% of the population, go start a church. If you want 84% of your lost people in your community, go start a business. There's my justification. 4 to 6% of people will actually show up to your church. If you're supposed to go where lost people are, that's in the marketplace. And so if you want to be ministers of the gospel, Jesus said, and we take this up as the Great Commission, but the commission is to, as you go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you even to the ends of the age. It wasn't go plant a church. It was as you go through life, whoever you are, wherever you are, be in proximity to me, and you go and do the work of the gospel, of the ministry.
I think if we do that, and you've done it, I mean, I think what you do every morning has to be called ecclesia. What you're doing with the people you're discipling in the mornings, that's what I would call a church. And kind of one of my litmus tests for ministry is, would it work in Iran right now? If it wouldn't work in Iran right now, it's not necessarily wrong or bad. It's just extra. If in Iran, if you want to pastor a church, it's going to be what we're calling these days microchurch. It's going to be something small. It's going to be hidden, and it's going to penetrate the culture. And your lifestyle is going to be funded from some other way, from a way that we're calling side hustle, because we're still thinking of the traditional church model as the center, and then this thing off to the side. If you're in Iran, the side hustle is that those 11 people you pastor. The mainframe is that job in a bank or whatever it is, because it has to be that way. And I think we've got to look at, and the reason I choose Iran is because it's probably one of the worst places on earth to be doing the gospel, but we're seeing a huge growth of the kingdom in Iran, people coming to Jesus, and a lot of the miraculous and stuff like that going on in Iran. But then it necessarily has to be has to be underground, very much like the world that Paul and Barnabas encountered when they went out, or Peter and John in the temple. And I think if we get the Great Commission right, we're going to be forced to have some sort of organization with people. But when we've made the ideal for that 6,000 people in a room someplace, we got a problem. And I think the ideal is more like 12 people. You know, that's kind of what Jesus did. I did a teaching called, I think, Heaven's Model for Multiplication. But the whole concept is, we need to, when we think of what is a church, we got to look at Jesus. Instead of looking at Paul, we got to look at Jesus. Anyway, I'm rattling on again. I'm sorry for.
No, that's good. While you were chatting, I was thinking about all the times we've been able to minister inside of our community. We have over 10,000 customers in the Nashville market. And so if you think about how many families that is, and then how many people they're connected to. All and right. So let me share with a couple of ideas for anybody that's like, man, how do you use business for mission? Let me share a couple of them with you. Every Friday we have leadership development. I get to go through anything I want to with them for leadership development. And so whether it is a Better Man curriculum or whether it's through a Ralph Moore, I get to choose, or just go through the scriptures, the Bible. I get to go through and lead the business. I get to make it up. So when you lead a business, you're the boss. You kind of get to decide what you're teaching and talking about and what you're correcting and highlighting. And so a few weeks ago, we went to Starbucks for our leadership development. This is probably about 12 guys. And we're inside of a circle. We're in the corner at Starbucks in the morning around 7 a.m. Have you ever been to Starbucks at 7 a.m., Ralph?
Yep.
How many people are inside waiting for their drinks, and what's going on at 7 a.m.? The drive-thru is going all the way around the parking lot. There's ladies waiting for their orders in the pickup line. There's cops in the corner that are talking about life. There's a lot going on. Well, we're talking about ministry, and I'm talking about, hey, guys, here at Browns, you don't have to go and share your story with people, but I want you to know you have permission to. Hey, you don't have to pray for people, but I just want you to know you have permission to. Now, we celebrate those who do. So if someone prayed for somebody, if someone shared their story, we share those stories. And what we learn from platforming is, whatever you platform, you get more of. So whatever you celebrate, that's what you're going to see. So from washing widows' houses and then praying for them for free and then praying for them, we get to witness to a lot of people here in Nashville. So at this Starbucks, we're in a circle. We're talking about this. We got our Bibles out. And I said, hey, let's close in prayer. We end up closing in prayer. And when I'm done, this lady who's probably 26, 27, who's watching what's going on, comes over there, and she doesn't talk in a soft voice. She talks in a very loud voice. And she says, oh my goodness, look at you men. Look at you men. Y'all are the type of men that are going to be impacting my kids one day. You got your Bibles here. You're praying for each other. Can I pray for you guys? And in front
Wow.
of the policeman, in front of every person, we're not inside the church doors doing our thing. We are inside of an everyday place, and we're a business. We have our
Right.
Browns pressure washing trucks in the parking spots, our clothes. And so when you are a ministry in the marketplace, you get, and I didn't choose Starbucks to say, guys, let's now everybody bring your box. It was just who we are. It's what we do. And if you are consistent with who you are, wherever you are, you break down this idea of private ministry and public ministry, and it just becomes ministry wherever you are. And there's permission to be who you are. Next thing is this, and I'll stop and you can ask questions if you'd like. Inside of growing your trades business, there's something called lunch and learns. These are property managers, real estate agencies. They invite you to come and share about your business if you buy them Panera bread, orange juice, some chocolate milk, and maybe some other little muffins. In exchange for that, you get 5 to 10 minutes to talk about your trades business. Well, guess who gets to decide what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You do. So do I have to talk about roof cleaning and gutter cleaning and dry? I don't have to. I can. Guess what I do? Hey, guys, in a second, I'm going to share about our business. But more important than what we do, it's who we are. For a second, I want to share my story with you. I'm a former drug dealer, pothead, high school dropout. Dad offered to pay for my abortion, not be in my life. I radically come to know the gospel when I was 20 years old. I then became a pastor, got frustrated with how ministry is done inside the church. You get to form it. And now I've got a business that we send people off to do incredible service inside the community. I can share my mom's story. I can witness.
Wow.
I just paid to play inside of Cry Like, Keller Williams, you name it, you get to do it. And so I'm sharing with you that you can turn your city into your pulpit. You can turn a driveway into an altar. You get
Right.
to do it. There's no rules. You get to make it up.
Yeah, love it.
That's
Love it.
true.
Love it. Love it. So if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, wow, I would like to be a Brown's pressure washing pastor, how would I make contact with you?
Go to pressurewashingpastor.com and click on the little start here journey, and it'll lead you to a webinar. And then what I'll do is I'll encourage you to order a market analysis. There's no way that I can understand your business or and your geographical location unless we do a total addressable market. And then we end up meeting together and we find out your story, who you are, why you're starting the business. And then we end up going on a journey. And we have boot camps where you can come here, get trained. We have video courses, a coaching community inside of a mighty network. My desire is to find house churches and some organizational leaders that see this vision. And I really want to work with them. And if you're an individual, I'll probably help you start your own. But to become a Browns, you have to be about creating jobs, making disciples, and serving the city. The average cost to start a pressure washing business in your area, everything is around 50K. That 50K can end up making, one truck can end up making $250,000 a year. Not just money, but also make an impact while you're making an income, because now your provision has become a vision for ministry in the marketplace.
So if I don't have 50K, what do I do?
If I didn't have 50K, I would show up, get a market analysis, because you can start as small as maybe 10K. And so I would say to start a business, you need to save up $5,000 to $10,000 so you can buy a little trailer. I used a Honda Odyssey van, my family van, put some stickers on it, maybe cost me a total of $300 that said Brown's Pressure Washing. I bought a $300 boat trailer. Anybody that's listening can go on YouTube right now and type in Upflip Brown's Pressure Washing. You'll see a story. We almost have 1 million views on this story. And you can hear my story on how I did it. Built a little $300 boat trailer, took out some credit card loans, maybe $5,000, built a little trailer. In year one, that thing would do 225. In year two, we used some of that money to build a truck, then added another truck, and now we have branded vehicles. And God has been so gracious and kind to give us a nice platform here in Nashville. I like residential market. You know, we do residential and commercial services, but if you're a ministry in the marketplace, focused on residential communities is a great way to just minister and love people. So I love focusing on that. The way we do that is first by starting out with a market analysis.
I love hearing that. Focus on on the residential because of the ministry opportunities. I love that it doesn't cost $50,000 really. That's the best way. But if I'm really hard up, it's possible to do it for a whole lot less. You could actually probably do it out of the trunk of a car, to get yourself, patch something together to get that first $10,000 to then get to that 50,000. I love that. And that's kind of how I grew up. We didn't have much money as I grew up, and starting churches, we scratched together a lot of stuff, without the proper things. You do what you do. When I started my little auto body business, I started with the wrong kind of tools. I mean, this the professional person would say the wrong kind of tools.
Yeah.
I had a little slide hammer. I had a grinder, and I did a lot of hand sanding, and I learned as I went. But as I made a little money, then I was able to buy some more tools, and then I made a little more money. I pretty soon I had all the professional tools, and I learned how to do that. And so I just want to encourage people that are out there. I mean, this is Christmas season, and we're going to put this on after Christmas. It's going to come out, but I'm thinking about pastors that I know who desperately needs a little help around time like this in the year. And you're listening to this, and you're maybe down on your dollar. You need to contact Josh. You really need to contact Josh, because and there are ways of doing this that are really available to you more than you think there are. And even, like you said, you might need to just get a credit card and get some equipment, and you're starting to make money. Again, tell us how tell us whatever you want to tell us, but end up with, this is how to contact me, because I want that to be the last thing that people hear.
The most important part of, like, Josh, outside of the things physical that I need to purchase, what other things do I need to have? And so there are some core competencies and some clues that identify the right individual for starting a trades business. Number one is you're a problem solver. I really think that if you don't know how to solve problems, you probably shouldn't start a business because you're going to have a lot of problems. And number two is you need a strong why. If you don't have a strong why, you're going to tap out as soon as difficulties come. And Jesus taught about building houses and who desires to be a disciple, count the cost. And it's like, if you're going to do it and surround yourself with people that have done it. I started with nothing. I knew nothing. I borrowed money and I made it happen. And it was because I had a strong why. I was going to provide for my family. You talk about a dude who's going to win, someone that says, I'm responsible for provide. I'm going to figure.
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever is necessary to provide for my family. That's my calling, is protect, provide, for my family. And then number two is just making sure you're a problem solver, not a problem finder. There are so many problems in businesses, but every single one of them is solvable. And
That's
so,
right.
if you're willing to get up, learn, I have a coaching community, that you can be a part of. And we will help you start and scale your pressure washing business. But to find out more information, you can visit pressurewashingpastor.com. Kind of easy to remember. Just click the Start Here journey. You'll come on a webinar, do them every other week. And then if you've got people that you want to invite into it, what I would do is if I didn't have resources, I would find someone that did and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Would you maybe help me financially make this thing a reality? And then that's a great way to go in business with someone who is economically in a place, and then you're willing to do the work. That's a good combo. So anyway, thank
That's
you, Ralph,
good.
for having me on as a guest.
Oh, thank you. I've really, really loved this time. Thanks so much.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.